I was a very angry individual. Drank, smoked. When I used to go parties, when I was a party girl, friends, they used to say, I've got to wake up early, I've got to go to church. But you was just dancing and half naked and what are you talking about? I always said that.
I was never become a Christian.
Said if I can come to church and they say something that I want to question, will I be able to question them? They said, no, you can't do that. I said, why? She said, because there's a time and place for that. You can go Bible classes. My children, eldest one, he was a Muslim. I wasn't a Muslim. He became a Muslim when he was 18, but didn't tell me.
How did you feel when you first saw the Kaaba?
I saw a piece of it and I just couldn't stop crying.
If he were here right now, what would you like to say to him? Peace be upon him.
Thank you. No, for real, I just want to say thank you. Because if it wasn't for him, I don't think I'd be here now. As a living person.
Assalamu alaikum, Sister Jannah Samuels. Thank you so much for accepting our invitation. As Eternal Passenger, we are happy to have you with us. I'd like to start with, who is Jannah Samuels? Can you tell us briefly about your life?
So I was born in London, in South London to be specific. I was born into a Christian household where my dad wasn't a Christian, but my mum was. And she'd be in and out of Christianity. One minute she's a Christian, next minute she's doing everything Quran. And she was doing that throughout nearly all of my life. My previous life, I was a very angry individual. Wanted to argue with everyone, wanted to fight everyone. Drank, smoked, partied. I always said when I was younger, I'd never become a Christian because I just feel like they're confused. In my mind, they were confused. And I think that was because of my mum. I mean, because I had an auntie. She was a Christian for as long as I can remember. She's still a Christian now. And she's never fallen out of. She's never said, oh, you know what? I don't want to be a Christian anymore. She's never fallen out. She's always been a Christian.
How was your life in regards to faith? Did you have any faith before?
I believed there was a God. I wouldn't say faith in general, but I just believed that there was a God, higher creator, someone, something. I just knew it. As I said, there was just that one time that I kind of thought, I think it was just for a day, that I may have thought that, but there ain't no God. It subsided and I believed in God. I'll just wait for Allah. Well, at the time, God, well, that's what I was saying. I'll just wait for God to guide me. If he guides me to Christianity, then that's it. If he guides me somewhere else, then I'll go with it. But I'll wait for him to guide me. I'm not just going to jump into something with my eyes closed, if that makes sense. So, yeah, I always said I'll just wait for him to guide me. And he guided me to Islam, so.
What was the thing that made you question your beliefs? Was it an event or a thought? And when was it?
I asked my mum and my aunt. I said to them, if I come to church, because they're asking me if I wanted to come to church. I said, if I can come to church and they say something that I want to question, will I be able to question them? They said, no, you can't do that. I said, why? She said, because there's a time and place for that. You can go Bible classes. I said, so by the time that Bible class comes, I'm going to forget what the question was. So that doesn't make no sense. Like, why can't I question at the time if I have something to question and that don't make any sense to me? Why wouldn't I be allowed to question it at the time when they say it? So, yeah, I didn't want to. Even though she was classing herself as a Christian, she would drink, she would go parties, she would have parties. I just felt like if you're somebody of God, you wouldn't half dress certain way, you wouldn't drink, you wouldn't swear, you wouldn't do half of the stuff that I see Christians do every day. When I used to go parties, when I was a party girl, some of my friends, they used to say, like, go party on Saturday night, I've got to wake up early, I've got to go to church. But you was just dancing and half naked and what are you talking about? I stopped going to church from when I was maybe 12 or 13. So as I said, my mum used to send us to Sunday school. So once I got to about 12, secondary school, high school, she allowed us to choose our own way and I chose not to go to church. What I find with the pastors is that they don't talk about the whole Bible. They pick and choose, special picking. And this special picking will be said almost every week. He might say something connected with it that's a little bit different than last week, but it's practically the same thing. So you don't go through each book of the Bible and talk about it. You're just picking and choosing.
What was your view of Islam back then? Did you have any prejudices?
When I was growing up, I didn't really know any Muslims, so I didn't have any thoughts on it. But when, for instance, 9/11 happened, obviously they were blaming Muslims due to them talking about it constantly on the news and constantly in the newspapers and in the media. I kind of did have a concept. And my mum used to call everyone that looked Muslim, like your old bomber, bombing up wherever they were bombing up. So I obviously, because I'm hearing it day in and day out, I kind of did have a perspective on it, like, oh, you lot are just mad peoples, you're not someone of God, you're just going around. But then I realised years later that you got different aspects.
Television and especially social media are spreading Islamophobia. So what about you?
They're the same, like I was saying about the pastor, saying the same thing every week, maybe just a little bit different, but it's just like he wants to manipulate how his congregation thinks. It's the same with the media. The West, they will show us a particular thing about a group of people, as for example, Muslims, and they will continually just degrade, degrade, degrade. And then until the people who is watching the news, who are listening to the media, who is watching social media, they will just take on board what they're saying. They're not going out and finding out for themselves about people. They're just listening to what the social media, what the media are saying. And because the media has a strong influence on the masses.
How did you first meet Islam?
As I said, I didn't know, have no Muslim friends or nothing. In 2022, I met someone. He didn't say that he was a Muslim. So I came around his house one day and he had on the Islam channel and they were reciting from the Quran. And as he's talking to me, I'm just like this in the TV. I didn't even hear what he was saying because I was just like, so I turned around after adverts came on. I said, what, are you a Muslim? He said, yeah. And then I started asking questions.
Did you find rational answers?
As I said, everything that he answered made sense. So it's rational. As long as it makes sense, it's rational. And every answer that he gave, every question that I asked and he gave an answer, it just made more and more and more sense. I was just asking like who's Allah about the Quran, because obviously I was watching it on the TV. So then he started to ask me obviously about my life. I was talking about Christianity. Then we started talking about Christianity and I started to say about how Jesus, like they're putting him as God. And I've always believed that there's one God. Then he started talking about Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Then he started talking about the Sahabas and how Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he was young, he was have his heart. His chest was opened up and his heart was cleaned, and it was quite intense. So I used to always ask Allah for the truth. Please guide me to the truth, even before I became a Muslim, because I just felt like the world was just lying to us. And I wanted to know the truth. So 4 months later, he turned around and he goes, oh, when are you going to take your shahada? And I said, what? And he said, when are you going to take your shahada? Because tomorrow's not guaranteed to anyone. I said, all right, then I'll take it right now. So I took my shahada. And then he said, you can do it officially. Go to a masjid and do it with the imam. So that's what I did 2 days later. And then that was the start of my journey. And he just told me how to pray. And he told me to learn Al-Fatiha, because obviously that's one of the pinnacle of the prayers. So that's what I learned first. I felt blessed, I felt loved, and I felt at peace, very much at peace. Just before I took my shahada, I said, bro, I don't want to go hell. I just don't want to go hell. That's all that was on my mind. I just don't want to go to hell. When I met this brother, I see everything as signs, and signs from Allah most of the time. Obviously, there are signs from Shaitan, but I kind of semi-know the difference between the two, if that makes sense. So I always said I didn't want to go to hell.
As Eternal Passenger, we need your support. We are an organization of women volunteers who aim to spread the message of Islam all over the world. Our videos have helped thousands of people change their lives, convert to Islam, give up haram, start praying, wear hijab, learn to read the Quran. By donating through the thanks button and becoming a member of this family by clicking the join button, you can have your share in all these good deeds. Donate to Eternal Passenger.
How did you feel when you took Shahada?
As I said before, in my past life, I was very angry and I felt like a weight was on my shoulders. So the day when I took my Shahada, that weight, that feeling of that heaviness on my shoulders just disappeared. And I felt so calm. Don't get it twisted. I still kind of get angry every now and again, but I'm still a work in progress. But the majority where things I would have just straight away just gone off on one, I don't do that anymore. Yeah. So I felt like more at peace.
So the new you is healing you.
Yep. 100%.
How did your family and the people around you react to your conversion to Islam?
Friends, before I became a Muslim, I used to ask Allah, anybody negative, please just take them out of my life and just bring positive people to me. And he did.
So I ended up with Zero friends.
It was people that I'd never want to be around, or I'd never want them to be around me. I'll talk to you if I see you on the street. Hello, how are you? And all of that. But to actually be around you, no, no, no. I didn't really have any qualms. And I'm quite a strong character anyway. So I became a place in my life where I don't care what people think, if that makes sense. I care about what God thinks, but I don't care about anybody else. My family now, they don't talk to me. They didn't from before I became a Muslim. So I wasn't a Muslim at the time when they stopped talking to me. My children, yeah, everyone was happy. My eldest one, he was a Muslim. I didn't know. I wasn't a Muslim. He became a Muslim when he was 18, but didn't tell me. So when I took my shahada and I said, oh, I'm a Muslim now, and he goes, so am I. And I said, what? I said, when did you take your shahada? He said, when I was 18. Why didn't you tell me? He said, oh, it wasn't my place to tell you. Like, you was meant to find this out for yourself, and you have found out for yourself. So, alhamdulillah.
When you consider your previous life as a non-Muslim, how does it feel to find the right path as a revert?
I have to think to myself, and I've said it enough times, but I know that it's by the qadr of Allah. But I've said, I don't know why I didn't find this earlier, but nothing before its time, as it said. So I just have to be grateful that I'm here now and I have found it and he led me here. Even before I became a Muslim, like I would say within my late 30s, I would sort of like be questioning things, praying. I all asked for things and he'd give it to me. But I didn't really put it down to it's Allah that's doing it. Maybe it's just a chance that I'm just, you know, like these things are just coming to me like good luck or something. I don't know. But I didn't realize that it was God that was doing it all the time. It's not the same.
Can you describe a moment when you felt a deep sense of peace or fulfillment in Islam?
I think it was the day that I went to Umrah. Yeah, for sure. Because I was only like 2.5 months. I'll tell you a little story. The day that I was going Umrah, I smoked my last 2 spliffs of weed. And I remember doing Fajr that morning. And I said, Allah, I know that this is wrong for me. If you really want me to stop, you're going to have to help me because I've tried to stop before. Even before I became a Muslim, I tried to stop before and it never worked. And I said, you're going to have to help me. And I thought I was going to go there and that nicotine craving was going to come and I would have to buy cigarettes or something. And I didn't. I was there for 7 days and I didn't. And then I thought, all right, when I come back, maybe once I smell weed or something, maybe I'll want to go back. And I didn't. He helped me. No, he truly helped me. But because I knew that that was wrong, I knew that it's like damaging your body. I know that he doesn't want us to damage our body intentionally.
How did you feel when you first saw the Kaaba?
Before I went, people were saying, yeah, when you see the black box, you're going to start crying. And I was saying, who cries after a black box? Like, it's a black box. So when we got there, they said they don't want us to, they made sure they got us a room that couldn't see the Kaaba. I could see people going around it, but I couldn't actually see the Kaaba. And they said that when we got there, they said that we must just use like a trail, like hold on to each other, look down. We wasn't allowed to look at first. We just held on to each other, looked down. The person led us to the Kaaba. Then they turned us round. They said, open your eyes. And then they gave us a little talk. And then they said, turn around. And as I turned around, my eyes didn't even see it properly. I just saw the first quarter. As I'm turning around, I didn't actually see the whole thing. I saw a piece of it. And I just couldn't stop crying. I was crying so hysterically. I don't know if you have that feeling, if you've ever had that feeling that you're crying so much you can't talk, even though I didn't know why I was crying. But apparently I was crying to get rid of all the sins that I had done to cleanse myself. Yeah, it was the best feeling ever. And that was my fulfillment in Islam, for sure. Probably the best feeling ever.
Would you help new converts overcome early challenges, especially when struggling with bad habits?
Put your trust in Allah. Ask Him. Just ask Him in your du'as. If you really want to stop, He will help you. He's helped me. He's helped many. Not just helped me, He's helped many. He knows your heart and you really sincerely want to stop. Just ask for it. And He wants us to also, for that sin, to come and ask for forgiveness. How sincere are you going to be when you're doing that? Or are you just going to be falling into Shaitan's trap? And continue to fall into Shaitan's trap until you get swayed away from Islam. I mean, as I said earlier, we have a lot of people coming into Islam. Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would have been very proud to see how much people have taken on this religion or this faith. But also, how serious are you good when you do take your shahada? How serious are you going to be? Do you want to go to the akhirah or do you want to go to hell?
What impressed you the most about Prophet, peace be upon him?
I'm impressed that this man woke up every single day with that 100% faith. not altering, not withering away. No doubt, no nothing. Something happens, our parents don't like what we become. We doubt and say that I would love to be just like him, and I would love to be just like him. But it's really hard. In this day and age, it's really hard.
If he were here right now, what would you like to say to him? Peace be upon him.
Thank you. No, for real. I just want to say thank you. Because if it wasn't for him, I don't think I'd be here now. As a living person, yeah, he's inspired me. More than all the other prophets, he's inspired me. And all I can say is I'd want to be just like.
If you had a chance to speak Palestinian women, Palestinian mothers, what would you like to say to them?
Living on the other side of the world and watching what's going on and how most of them are so calm in what is going on.
Families being murdered, children being murdered.
Their children, grandchildren, husbands, and they're still, I think I would have given up. I think I would have let go of myself and given up. I wouldn't even have to wait for them to kill me. I would just probably give up and die of a heartbreak or something. So what I would want to say to them, us in the West, we ain't got nothing compared to you guys. Nothing on you. You are up there.
If you had the chance to speak all non-Muslims in the world, what would you like to say to them?
No one is perfect, right? No one. We can only strive to be perfect. The only perfect one is Allah. But we can only strive to be perfect. They might go on like they are, but no one's perfect. The only perfect person is Allah. I would probably throw in stories. What do you think that they done this for whatever purpose? So I'd make them try to kind of see that the world that we're living in is not the world that they think we're living in, if that makes sense. Allah's the only way. This is Eternal Passenger. It was a good day interview today with them. If you like content, please share, like, comment in order for this ummah to grow.